Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Men, thanks for taking time as always and listening to today's show. Before I get into today's show, I want to talk about a couple things. The first is I want to thank Nate Irvin. On July 8th, 2019, went to iTunes and left a five-star review. He said, "The pursuit of manliness is a conversation all men need to hear, whether it's reassuring your leadership as the man in your family, preparing for marriage and leading a family, or just identifying and studying the role we play as men of God. The show challenges you to grow deeper, lead harder, and pursue God vigorously." Nate, I can't thank you enough, man, for taking time and going to iTunes and leaving that review. You know, we have to say it all the time. And I remember talking to a good friend of mine about podcast ratings and subscriptions. And it was something like, do you really have to say that? And I think sometimes we fall into this category that we say it because we hear other people say it. But what I have learned over the last, I don't know, couple of years of doing a podcast is your review, just like what Nate did there, is communicating something to a potential listener. Some of you guys, if you maybe did on Amazon or you do on TripAdvisor, you read other people's reviews. You get their perspective of what they like, what they connected with, and when they see what Nate said and when they see what many of you other guys have said, it gives them an idea of what they are subscribing to. I hate subscribing to podcasts because there was a particular episode only to get into a couple more episodes and say, okay, I really only liked one episode. So when you guys do that, man, I really appreciate it. But two, I think it keeps the conversation going beyond the podcast. It allows other people, potential listeners, to say, okay, that's what it's about. And I love that he ended with the word vigorously. That's a word that I don't know why I grabbed onto, when I first started Pursuit of Manliness, I wanted Pursuit of Manliness to have a little bit of nostalgic feel. I like old things, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, those eras, the music, TV, whatever. So I wanted a little bit of that nostalgia. I wanted to get back to let's pursue being men of God. Let's kind of take back what was already ours. But that word vigorous just continually rose to the surface. I don't know why. And there used to be kind of a catch line. I think Twitter bio might have had it. You know, it said something like, as we continue to figure out what vigorous means or how to spell it, or try to be witty, snarky, it didn't land. But the point is, vigorous means continually, relentlessly, just, you know, that this grit. And I posted this in our closed group and maybe on Twitter. I think I did a Twitter as well. I know I did on Twitter and Facebook, forgive me. The idea that, you know, vigorous is not just a word. It's not just a slogan. It's really what the pursuit of manliness is about. And I didn't do this to toot my own horn, but I just kind of realized it at the end of the week that on Monday of last week, there was a podcast and there was a video that went with the podcast. There is not a video for this one. On Wednesday, there was a blog post about making disciples. On Thursday, there was a video that was posted on YouTube and other social media platforms about overcoming bitterness, kind of God excavating that bitterness root in our heart. And on Friday, there was another video. It eludes me at this point what the video was about. I don't recall. I'm sorry. But the point was there were four pieces of content right there for guys to engage in or at least to consume on the very minimum. And then there were other things, whether it was a post with just verbiage or an image with a scripture, or image with a quote. So just about every day last week, there was something for the Pursuit of Manliness guys that really want to engage and grow together. And we say all the time that we want to build better men together. Man, I can't build you being a better man. You know, you have to want it. I have to want it. And collectively, we're better together. I'm just one guy. I'm a husband. I'm a father of three kids. Two of them are teenage girls. I'm a pastor. I'm a lead pastor at a church. And I have my own things I want to do. So all this is kind of on the side. But man, I just have this heart that we want to help men get better. I'm not saying men are under attack, but just Christianity or God's values in general are under attack big time. And it is relentless and it's not going to stop. I'm going through a sermon series right now in the book of Esther, and you know, Haman tried to wipe out the Jews. Listen, people have been trying to wipe out God's people and attack them and hurt them and malign them and punish them and threaten them for since the beginning of time. So this is nothing new, but there's times where I just kind of get tired, you know, just physically tired, mentally tired. You just get tired of the conversation. You're like, man, we just keep talking about the same things. But man, when you hear one or two guys, or you read an iTunes review, or you see someone leave a comment on YouTube, or share the show, or invite guys, man, when you see guys invite guys, you're like, this is why we do this. This is why we do this. And what I want to do today with this podcast is I want it to be an encouragement to you as an individual. And I'm not going to get fully into this topic of individual accountability. What I want you to do is hopefully just stop and think about yourself as an individual. And later on, there'll be another episode about individual accountability that it's just something that there's a few things I'm really working through because these are continual conversations that I'm having with people. It could be just randomly, somebody, we're standing outside the building and we're having a conversation. It could be somewhere, at a different part of the building. It could be all these different places that these are conversations that are consistent themes. And when that happens, that's a lot of times where podcast content comes from, because I feel like, okay, if I had this conversation with two or three guys, maybe God's telling me that other guys need to hear it as well. And so the point of this conversation today is that you are the CEO of you. Okay, I just want to start with that right there. You are the CEO of yourself. And I'm going to get way into this. I originally made this podcast as I was driving home one day from the office to my house, and it was like a 10-15 minute drive, and I just talked and shared, and I'll be honest, the quality of the content was not very good. So I'm kind of going back and revisiting that, and so hopefully you'll understand really the heart behind this. I want to make this an encouragement to you. And when I say this in the very beginning, I want to start with this. As Christians, we understand we are under the authority of God. We exist. We woke up today only because God has allowed that to happen. With that said, that we are under God's authority, that He is sovereign, that He is control. Can we just be really honest, really blunt? He has given us an incredible amount of free will. Now, we know about God's providence. We know about how God, interacts with us and how He reveals Himself to us. We know all that. But He gave you the free will today to listen to this podcast. He gave you the free will today to brush your teeth or not brush your teeth. He gave you the free will today to decide how you're going to treat people. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts you about things and says, I don't know if that wasn't the way to respond. You need to follow up with that person. You need to confess or repent of that sin. God has given us unbelievable free will. So when you think about the fact that you're the CEO of yourself, ask yourself, what are you doing? Okay? And I feel like I need to say this, because I see it online a lot. If you are a husband, if God has blessed you with a wife, you do not have the ultimate free will to do whatever you want because I am the CEO of myself. You have taken a wife. That is first and foremost your prime responsibility. Her prime responsibility. It's the most important earthly relationship you have in your life. So to say, I want to own my own gym. That's great. But if your wife is adamantly against it, maybe that's not the thing to do. But I'm the CEO of me. Yeah, but you took a wife. See, it changes, all right? There's no more, maybe you can go out with the guys, but there's not guys not out. Like, it's different now. And if you have children, it's radically different now. But when I say you're the CEO of you, I want you to think about what you can control. You can't control how well you love your wife. You can control how you communicate to her and with her. You can control how you spend your time and resources as much as it involves her. I don't think your wife should be your absolute world. That's dangerous, and I see that too. I love that guys love their wives. I want you to love your wife, absolutely. But you're supposed to love Jesus more than anything else, okay? So you love Jesus, you love your wife, and you love your children. Your children cannot be your world. You cannot live vicariously through your children. I have children that are involved in some different activities, and it would be easy for me to live through them because, wow, I wish I could have done that over. Or, my son is 6 at this point. He's a better soccer player at 6 than I probably was at 16, okay? I can't live through him. I'm not going to live vicariously through my son's soccer career, because if he wakes up tomorrow and says, I don't want to play soccer no more at 6 years old, okay. That's okay, because you know what? It's your life. Now, I get to help with that, and I get to speak into that, and I get to parent that, but I can't make him feel the pressure that you got to play soccer because, I failed in my soccer career, so therefore you must continue to play soccer. No, but when I say the CEO of you, there's a lot of things, men, that you can control and you can utilize better. It is unbelievable to think about the resources that God has given to us. Each man has been given a specific set of unique opportunities that is unlike the man next to him. You have a past and you have a present that only you can understand. But we don't let our past and even our present be our story. God has given you countless resources that allow you to be the CEO of you and run the best possible company, if you will, of yourself. And what we're going to do is look at 5 resources that God has blessed us with. It's almost too simple. It's almost too simple. When I talk to guys, though, it's almost like we glaze over this and realize, oh, I don't know if I like that. Where's this coming from? That seems very rebuking. That seems very critical. Yeah, but also those are guys that will come to you with, you know, their marriage is falling apart, or I don't have any money, or I don't have a relationship with my kids, or you are the CEO of you. What are you doing with you? If you were running you as a company and God came down and said, okay, how you doing with my business that I've given you, what would it look like? You know, if you were charged to run a fast food restaurant and you ran it the way that you run yourself, what would that look like? What would that look like? If you hired yourself, this is very hyperbole here. If you hired yourself to be the manager of you and you were able to come in and witness it and look at the inventory and look at the money going in and money going out and how you treated the employees and how you treated the customers, and how you treated the product, what would be the review you would give yourself? Would you fire yourself? Some of you are like, no, I wouldn't fire myself. You would probably. You probably would. So what we want to do is evaluate that. Let's start with the absolute best resource available to us, the ability to know the owner. Okay, a relationship with the one who created you. This seems so Sunday school to even have to say this, but we have to think about this, that God has given us the ability to know him. How incredible is that when you stop and ponder the fact that the one who created you, let's go beyond that, the one who breathed air into your lungs as you slept last night, the one who held the cosmos together, that keeps the sun at the appropriate distance so we don't just explode out in the middle of thin air, the one who holds all these things together, desires to have a relationship with you. He's the owner of you. There's no one more powerful than him, and he wants to know you. He has given you his son, Jesus. He's given you the Holy Spirit to live inside you. Like, there could not be a better relationship with an owner than God does right now and says, I'm going to allow you to be you. He's given you the opportunity to kill it when it comes to hustle and creativity and impact and relationship and so on. He's given you so much opportunity. What are you doing with the greatest available resource to you right now? How are you and God doing? That's a different way of wording it. What is God attempting to teach you right now and instruct you right now as the CEO of you? How is that going? I remember years ago, I ran a fast food restaurant, and I was the manager. I was a terrible manager, but I remember working there that the owner would come through one time a day, and he did it sometimes to get a sandwich, depending on the time of the day, but he always did it to collect the money from the night before. That's what he'd do. He would drive through. We'd know he's here. He pulled up to the drive-thru window. We'd hand him a bag of cash. He would drive off. He would deposit that cash, and that was it. That was the relationship we had with him. We saw him just about every day to come and collect the money that he was going to put in the bank. Can you believe what God gives you? Can you believe how much freedom he has instilled into you? Let's not scoff at that first opportunity that what God has given us. The second thing that God has given us, and again, this seems too simple, is the Bible. God has given you the Bible with an incredible amount of men and women in Scripture who have a relationship with him. There's always a person in there. There's always a story. There's always a circumstance that you look at and go, yep, I can identify with that. Yep, I knew somebody just like that. Yes, I found myself in the same circumstance, the same situation. And yet we can look at that Bible and we can learn from it and we can read it and we can apply it and then we can help other people do it. But I shudder to think of the number of men that I know who do not read the Bible. They'll listen to countless podcasts. They'll watch a ridiculous amount of YouTube videos. They love sermons online. They're very uber spiritual when it comes to knowing Christian stuff. But to read the Bible and actually get into it, I'm not so sure about that. It happens a lot. We just went through a process of looking to hire a worship pastor, the guy that plays music in front of the church and leads you, prepares you to worship throughout that service and is on staff and should know about the heart of worship and what that looks like throughout the week and leading a worship team. And I can't tell you how many guys we talked to that we're interviewing that didn't have any quiet time with God. Listen, if you're – I shouldn't say this, but if you're a pastor – If you're a former pastor and think you want to be a pastor, if you are not a pastor and think you want to be a pastor, you really should learn about having a quiet time with God, like being in the Word every day and praying, and you have to learn that. But as a Christian, the same standard is set for you, whether you're on staff at a church or you're just a believer in Christ, that we must know the Word of God. God has presented it before us and has given us the opportunity to learn and grow from that. Listen, I love podcasts. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing one. I love online Bible teaching. You can go on to One Source and all these other resources and listen to every sermon in the last, 50 years. I mean, there's a ton of stuff out there. The Bible is translated in a ridiculous amount of languages. You can even get it in whatever version you want to have it in. I'm an NLT guy. I'm an LMNOP guy. I'm an ESV guy. You're a King James guy. I'm a New King James guy. I'm a NASB guy. Great, man. Just read it. Just read it. Study it. Apply it. Like, just be a man of God in the Word of God. And then allow yourself to be changed by the presence of God. So we have God and we have the Bible. Those are two unbelievable resources when it comes to being you. And this is not your best life now stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someday we're going to stand before God and give an account for all the things that He has given us. And let's not minimize those first two incredible opportunities that God has given us. Now, the third one we're going to talk about is resources. I'm talking about websites and blogs and podcasts and books and audiobooks. Listen, anything else that is tangible that can help you grasp growing, that can help you grasp pursuing better, that can help you grasp health and maturity. Those are all resources. So if you said, I want to get in shape, you can go to the store and you can buy a case of water and you can buy some workout gear. Or you can go to the store, you buy a case of soda and you buy a box of donuts. Okay, so those are both resources. Those are resources available to you. They're going to give you radically different results. Amen. The same is true with the resources, the website, blogs, podcasts, books, whatever that we have been given to us. What we do with them makes all the difference in the world. I say that often about, when you go to church, if you don't go to church to really connect with God and worship Him, and if you consider yourself a believer and you're just going there to go there, you're wasting your time. You might as well went to the golf course and went out to eat or something of that nature. Now, if you're going to church to pursue God and find Him or to figure out what this church thing is about or what Jesus is about, yeah, your motive makes all the difference in the world. If you go to a funeral to pay your respects, you go to the funeral to get free mints. That's a radically different reason to go to a funeral, right? If you go to a wedding because you're celebrating the marriage between two people that you know and you're celebrating them, or you go to a wedding to try to pick up girls, okay, that's a little bit different perspective, a little bit different intent. And this is what we're saying with the resources. What are we doing with the resources that God has given us? God says, you love podcasts. You're a big podcast listener. Great. What did you do with that? I don't know. I just had them on my phone all the time. I didn't like people, so it was a great way to put earbuds in and not have to talk to people. You read a lot of books. What did you do with the books? What did you do with... God is, I'm staring in front of me a calendar that is a 12-month dry erase calendar that I keep in my office. And I see it. I see events. I see sermons. I see vision stuff on the side. Great. God has given me the ability to have a calendar, the ability to write, the ability for a dry erase marker to put that stuff up there. But if I just do it so people walk in my office and go, man, you got some ideas of what he wants to do in this coming year, it's fruitless. Listen, he's given you journals and calendars, anything to keep you organized, anything to set goals, measure growth, and so on. Think about what is available to you. Some resources are free. Some resources cost money. I have a friend that does a side hustle on the side, and he has an unbelievable following, unbelievable. And just recently, he started selling some things. And it's interesting how quickly people fade away. Why? Well, they loved the free stuff. They loved everything that was free of what he did. But his fee, there was a fee for some of the stuff. That's when they back away. We love free stuff. The crowds did it to Jesus. They followed Jesus. They loved the bread. This bread is incredible. The fish is delicious. How did you catch it? How did you cook it? How did you prepare it? Did you use a seasoning? Where did you get this stuff? Hey, you need to die to yourself if you want to follow me. You know what? We really got to go. I left the cow in the front yard. I need to get home. I knew I should have done that before I left. We got to go. Anytime something costs us something, we're gone. Some of these resources are going to cost you something. We have this with Tribe. Tribe is $150 for 6 months. Truthfully, it's dirt cheap. It is dirt cheap, unless you're dirt cheap, but it is dirt cheap. $25 a month. There's people that charge $150 a month for what they're doing. $150 a month. Because you want some skin in the game, right? And it's amazing how many men will reach out to me. Man, I'm crushed. I'm losing my wife. I don't have this. I don't have this. Hey, man, I got this thing coming up in, you know, end of November, you know, this, and they're gone. They disappear. Oh, yeah, man, I'll get you next time. Listen, guy, you're not, and this is not about tribe. This is about you. You are the CEO of you. You have to begin to eliminate the excuses in your life. Number four is people. Listen, with the internet, you can literally be connected to, learn from, and get better by relationships with people that you would have never met otherwise. I become connected to men from all over the world. Some of them have been on my podcast. Some of them, I've been on their podcast. Within Tribe, we've had 70 plus different men from all over the country and world be in Tribe. Some of these guys are close to where I live and serve, and some of them are on coast that I've never, ever met them. We have one individual who's serving in the military right now. We have another guy in Belgium. Through 30 and 30, we had guys from all over. There's just an unbelievable opportunity to connect with people all over the world, and I'm telling you, you will learn from them. You can get better with them. Listen, sometimes it's really hard to find the right people, but getting online if you must and finding those people and getting involved and investing there is a game changer. Now, I will see this. I will see guys who jump into the pursuit of manliness and they're in like every man's group. Guys, I'm in a lot of men's groups because I get to know those guys and they add me to their group. Probably, maybe I added them to my group. I don't know how that works. But so you'll see the same guy post the same thing 2, 3, 4 times because you'll see all these groups flow right before your eyeballs, like within like the Facebook communities. And you're like, man, it's like fishing. I just want someone to grab my line. I'm putting all this stuff out there. Just get involved and get invested. Bring something to the table, but expect to get something in return. Not everybody is going to be enamored with you. Not everybody's going to be enamored with you. But you can't be intimidated by them either. You have something of value to bring to that conversation. I want you to hear this. If it's important to get the right people in your life, it's important to understand who the wrong people are as well. With the pursuit of manliness, I've had people become very cynical about me, skeptical about me, say things about me behind my back to other people. I've had a lot of strange things because, well, you think you're better, or look at you trying to do this manly thing, or look at you that, you know, or the accusation that somehow I'm this misogynist guy who's all about men. Listen, I've shared it one time before. If anything, you listen to this podcast, it's probably pro-women. Because if you get your act together, she gets a better husband. And you'll start to value her as a wife. But listen, you can't tell people that. You can't tell people that. And I'm not going to argue with them. I've learned over the last couple of years, man, it gives no value to argue with people. Some of them just want to argue. And the most critical people are creating the least. You'll never find a colleague. You'll never find someone who's doing the same thing that you're doing. You'll never find the people who are also... The people at the gym encourage one another. Now, they'll challenge you, but it's the people outside the gym that make fun of the people walking into the gym. Like, I hate running. I hate it. But runners understand running. So runners build one another up, right? Like, I don't get it. I can't build you up. I can't tell you. I don't know why you're running. I don't see anyone chasing you. I don't understand that. But that you get it. When you're a part of something, when you're on that vision and on that mission, you'll find other people that are on that same thing. But you got to stay the course, man. It is tiresome. It is weary. And man, I'm telling you, it probably bothers you the most. I'll just be real honest. When it's people that are closest to you or people that are at least in your life or in your circle, and you're like, man, why don't you get it? Why don't you, I shouldn't say get it, but it's never reciprocated. You know, maybe you're not about manliness. Maybe you're about something else, but you don't ever get fed from their thing. I got that a lot. You know what? I just believe God wants me to do this. I'm going to continue to do it. It's not easy most of the time, but it is worth it all the time. And speaking of time, that's number five. Wasn't planning on transitioning that way. This has been a podcast of transitions. Number five, time. We are guaranteed nothing when it comes to time, yet we have been given time. I'm going to unpack this for just a little bit. This is a big soapbox for me. It's a great way to wrap up this podcast. There are 24 hours in a day. I know you know that, okay? Let's say, this is all very hypothetical. There's always that one guy who's going to push back and go, well, what you didn't take into account is, thank you, Captain Obvious, and you figure out your own math. Let's go with this. 24 hours in a day, let's say you sleep 8. I don't get 8 hours of sleep. Well, I wish I got 8 hours of sleep. All of a sudden, we're all 75-year-old men peeing 4 times a night. Let's say you get 8 hours of sleep. Some of you are getting more. Some of you are getting less. If you have a new baby in the house, you want 8 minutes of sleep. I understand. I'm talking about in your life, typically speaking, you get 8 hours of sleep. That's going to leave 16. I went to Biola College, but I can do that math. Let's say you work for 12 hours a day. How many of you work 12-hour shifts, 12-hour days? You go in at 7 a.m., you get off at 7 p.m. You go off at 6 a.m., you get off at 6 p.m. How many of you do that? Well, I got a commute. Okay, let's count that as your time. In your commute and your work time, is it 12 hours? Again, very hypothetical. Let's say it's 12 hours. That leaves 4 hours, okay? Radical math here. I understand that. What do you do with the 4 hours? What are you doing with your time? Map out your day. Well, I scrolled Facebook for 17 minutes. Great, you won't get that back. I was on the toilet on Instagram for 14. Great, now you're up to a half an hour. I didn't get that back. What are you doing with your day? I watched SportsCenter for an hour and a half. Okay, now you're up to 2 hours. I don't know what you do with your day. Well, I got kids. They're in practice. Fair enough. It's the Dave Ramsey plan. Are you taking that from your 4 extra hours or are you taking that from your 12 work hours? Well, I work 12 hours and I have kids. Okay, great. You might be the anomaly, but I'm going to tell you this. You have 4 hours, most guys at least, somewhere in there. Now, what you choose to do with them, that's up to you. Again, budget your time like you would budget your money. Make sure every single minute goes somewhere until you start to figure this thing out. For 4 hours, you got marriage problems. For 4 hours, you sit down, you hold your wife's hand, you stare at eyeballs. Okay? My marriage is on the brink. What are you doing about it? You got 4 hours. Read a book about it for an hour. Talk to her about it for the next hour. Rub her back for the next hour. Clean the house for the next hour. There's 4 great hours. Your wife will love you, okay? It's hard to hate a guy who's doing the dishes, running the vacuum, rubbing your back, telling you how wonderful you are. Amen? Get that one right. But we tend to spend our 4 hours on ourselves or trying to convince other people we're great. Or we do these side hustles that make other people good. Meanwhile, our house is collapsing from the inside out. What are you doing 4 hours? You could take an online class. You know how many books you could read if you read for 4 hours? You know how great your yard will look if you spent 4 hours a day on it? Like 4 hours, what are you doing with those 4 hours? Now, again, I know you might look at your day, well, I don't have 4 hours. Where is your time going? And the first question is, are you sleeping for 8 and are you working for 12? Are you getting 8 hours sleep? Did you go to bed at midnight and get up at 8 a.m.? Did you do that? And did you work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.? Okay, where are you at with that? What's your hour? Well, I lost an hour there between 8 and 9. Okay, what are you doing with your time? Did you get ready this morning for an hour? I've learned this like over lunch break. I remember a guy who had this unbelievable side hustle. I'll never forget just admiring him from a distance, all the content he produced, the quality he produced it with, only to find out that he did almost all of it on his lunch break. I thought, how are you doing that on your lunch break? Oh, that's right. I watched The Office on my lunch break. Oh, that's right. I watched The Dan Patrick Show. Oh, that's right. I was scrolling on, you know, ESPN or Amazon or, you know, so you basically flushed an hour down the toilet of your day that you'll never, ever get back. And how did you do that side hustle on that? Because you worked at it. Listen, I tell guys this all the time. You're not hungry enough. And I'm not talking about literal hunger. When you get hungry, you will make time work for you. If God woke you up today, he gave you 24 more hours. What you do with them makes all the difference in the world. You can piddle them away. I have people say, man, watching sports is such a waste of time. Not when you worked your face off throughout the week. It is actually a time of refreshing. It's actually a time to invite people over. It's actually for us a time where we as a family gather together, eat great food, root for our team, have a good time. Man, if you crushed it Monday through Friday, it's not a big deal on Saturday. You watch a couple games. If you crush it on Sunday, it's not a big deal if you watch some games. But if you're doing that all week long and you're wasting all that time, people will say often, how do you do the pursuit of manliness on the side? Because it's not on the side. It becomes part of who you are. Because it's part of my time. When I budget my time, I say, that finds a spot on every day. There's something in there. If I find out like my wife and kids are watching a movie, I'm not a movie guy, but they're going to do that. And that's not my thing. Or they know, hey, whatever. I might go out and record a podcast. I might go work on something. Or I may go, hey, I worked on that now because on later on, we're going to take a trip over here. We're going to do this now. You look at your time and you budget it. If you're working for yourself, most of the time, unfortunately, we work for ourselves because we can't work for anyone else. If you're working for yourself, you got to grind it, man. You're your own payroll. And so whatever you do with your time, if you want to be a side guy, you want to do this on my, I'm doing my own thing, man, you better kill it. You better crush it because you are your own payroll. And so if you're working your own self and money's not coming in sufficiently that it's hurting you or whatever, you need to go to Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or Taco Bell or a grocery store because they're handing out money for people who show up and work and you don't have it. Men, I'm telling you this. Schedule your day. Okay? Schedule your day and you will be amazed at where you find extra time. I promise you. Schedule out your month and you'll be amazed at what you will get done in that calendar month. If you schedule out your year, you will be amazed at how much you got accomplished in that year. You'll be amazed at your growth in one calendar year. If you begin to schedule out your day down to the week, month, year, I'm telling you, at the end of the year, on December 31st, 20, whatever year you're listening to this, and Pitbull is singing at New Year's Rockin' Eve or whatever he's doing, you're going to go, man, I killed it this year, and I cannot wait to go to bed because tomorrow we start it all again for the following year. If you do this for multiple years, you will make other people better. God has blessed you with a ridiculous amount of resources and opportunity placed in front of you. You have God Himself. You have the Bible. You have tangible resources. You have people, and you have time. You are the CEO of you. What needs to happen to make you become a better CEO? What needs to happen that you become a better, more efficient CEO that your wife and your children love who are you are becoming? Because it directly benefits them. And then as it directly benefits them, men, this is the big kicker here, it will directly benefit other people. And you're talking about an investment in not only your legacy, but the legacy that is the kingdom of heaven beyond anything you can comprehend when you understand I have so much more opportunity before me. I am going to maximize that. I'm going to make sure God and I connect every single day. I'm going to make sure I'm in the Word of God every single day. I'm going to make sure that I make resources work for me. Some of them I may even have to purchase because they're going to be worth it. I'm going to make sure that I get around better people, and I am going to maximize my time the way that I would want to maximize my money. I'm going to make sure that I don't waste time, that I'm not scrolling aimlessly, that I'm not watching a ridiculous amount of videos online or Netflix, or I'm going to use it for good. If it's 4 hours, I'm going to maximize those four. I'm going to figure out, where did my 4 hours go today? Who took my 4 hours? What did I do with them? Or did I make those 4 hours work for me? And then when you go to bed at night, you crash, dude, because you gave it all. You went to bed at night with a zero balance, and the next day you get to start again. Man, that's it for me. I appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear how you, as the CEO of you, are maximizing those things. I'd love to hear what other resources or opportunities that you believe God has given you that you're using for good, that you're using for growth, and that you're using to make other people better. Man, make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you find podcasts. Like I said in the beginning, Nate, I appreciate you, man, leaving a review. Guys, I want to encourage you, other guys, to do the same. If you leave a review, it just communicates to other people. This is what this is about. Check us out, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As I said in the beginning, a lot of content, a lot of different places. And if you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/groups/pursuit of manliness. That's our closed Facebook group. But again, make sure you like those pages. And if you go to YouTube, I'm trying to upload more content there as well. Make sure you hit subscribe and, man, like a video, leave a comment. Let me know resources that work for you. Let me know podcasts that you listen to. Let me know if you've looked at this thing about maximizing your time. Let me know how that 24 hours window worked for you, men. All right. Appreciate you, men. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.